And today is August 4, 2014. It's 10 a.m. in the West Coast, 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and 8 o'clock in the Middle East. Today we're still at war, and tonight is the eve of 9/11. It's the day that we commemorate the destruction of the first and the second temple. This is a very, very important day in the Jewish life, and this is a very challenging time in the time of the State of Israel and the global community of the Jewish people. Together, it's really important for us to understand, to face the music and see what we're doing right and wrong. And for that reason, I invited a very special guest, Gerald O'Donnell, which is one of the most inspirational person to come and ask for advice in the time of challenge. Gerald, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Oli. It's my pleasure.
I'm so happy you're here because your perspective on the world and the fight that we all have against terror can reflect to everybody what we can do. And I would like to hear about your perspective.
Okay. What we can do, you mean as far as the humans, as far as a nation, as far as a creation?
How we got into this mess? How we got in this mess where everybody's fighting, everybody's broke too, and the world is about to destroy itself. And, you know, it's the minute that the person will start, you know, push the button, you know, in Iran and destroy us all. So how can we stop this madness?
Have you ever been in a playground and watched little children playing?
Yes.
And see what they do to each other? When they start, you know, especially when you give them a little sticks and sticks become a little more than sticks, and then they start fighting with each other, creating gangs, and then creating belief systems, and then they start, you know, wanting to engage in power and competition. And I think this is the story of humanity being played out in a microcosm. But it's affecting all of humanity because we're still, you know, all the children of one God and children of the same consciousness that gave us birth, and the one that in the old Bible we call the Adamic consciousness. We're still all the children of Adam. So how do we get into this? It's by being disconnected from our source, our intent, not realizing that we're all really one family, and that has created divisions and created separation, created walls, created entrenched programs, and people like grooves. They like to repeat, you know, old stories over and over again under different circumstances and periods, and that's where we are at. I mean, it's the same old being repeated with modern versions, you know, maybe more modern technologies. Yeah.
It's like the fashion, the repeat fashion, but this one is the war. And they start again, but this time we have to stop them. This time we know better. The transparency of the world can create a better opportunity to stop it. And, you know, we need all the good people to come together to understand that it's a pen on us. It's not something that we're going to let it be this time. And, Gerald, it's really essential for people to be empowered. And to be how we empower ourselves in this challenge, you know, everybody feel like they cannot do nothing. What a person shall do.
Okay. I can only tell you what I've gotten when I go very deeply inside. This is not by reading anything. It's just what I get from reading my own inner wisdom and connection to
right.
The inner... And I go very deeply inside, as you know. There is light and darkness in everybody. There's light and darkness in the world. Without polarity, nothing exists. Darkness is not necessarily the enemy of light, and light is not necessarily the enemy of darkness. The question is, how will light and darkness operate together? How does the shadow, when you walk around, you always have a shadow. How does the shadow, which is connected to you in reality, not face aggress you? And how do you realize that you even have a shadow? You know, in the history of mankind, when we speak about enlightenment, when we speak about bringing awareness to people, we always talk about, you know, very often about increasing our intelligence, increasing our awareness of things, of
problems.
Not necessarily problems. No, it's the enlightenment that is supposed to solve the problems. The problems come from a lack of enlightenment. All our problems are due to a lack of enlightenment as to why we're here. You know, it's the old question: why are we here? I mean, not only as Jewish people, are we here as Gentiles? Are we here as nations? Are we here as different species? What is creation all about? I mean, there must be a reason if we do believe in a creator. And most of the enlightened universe, okay, believes that there had to be a creator, an intelligence, a thought, a gigantic thought, an intelligence that created all this, and it's still creating all this, and it is maybe silently watching or interacting, but we are not aware of it. So most people are asking the question, you know, why are we here? What's my mission? Do I have a mission? Or am I just an accident that just happened and I keep on breathing until I stop breathing and there is nothing to this? So the ones that believe that there is a mission, the only answer I can give is that when you have a family that spreads throughout, you know, and the same thing happens in the human family, it spreads throughout the world and is given certain qualities and certain particular goods or particular elements that they can eventually possess or take possession of and control and make use of, there's going to be always an element of competition. And very often they forget that they are a family because they spread out so much. You know, it's like a grandfather who had children and then the grandchildren inherited the company that he allowed them to have, and then he's watching with great concern because they're starting to compete within the family and they're starting to fight, not realizing that they really should, if they want this whole structure to continue, they have to operate together. They have to get together
right.
And realize that they're really brothers. It doesn't matter if they're like, 2,000 cousins, 2,000 degree removed, they're still cousins. And the color of the skin has nothing to do with this. It's not on purpose. It's a challenge. When the Creator created this world, He created everything as a challenge, both to Himself as a Creator in order to fix this creation, fix His children, but also especially with the children. You know, there is an old psalm by David where he says, "Betochechi Yerushalayim." He says that Jerusalem is really within me. In other words,
right.
And Shalem, the peace, the real peace. Shalem is peace. The real peace, which means the perfection, having all the pieces that having spread out all throughout creation as little pieces of God consciousness everywhere, for those pieces to be reunited in the perception that they are part of a unity is a challenge that has to be engaged both by the pieces themselves, some mystics call the tikkun, they have to engage into that
on their own individual
level. And then it has also to be engaged by the Creator guiding them. Now, if the pieces, first of all, don't even have the notion that they are the pieces that were spread out on purpose for that challenge, so that one day they can reunite into becoming the family again, the human family. And
we need to become the human family of brotherhood of man. I know
yes.
all that thought, and let's go to a break. Temple. We have Gerald O'Donnell with us, an inspirational guru, which brings the
Please
best
don't call
out
me guru.
Of people. Okay.
This is one
and
word I don't
want
to be called a guru. I'm like everybody else. I'm just a little human here. That's it.
And what we're trying to achieve, Gerald, here is to understand from your perspective. You see, we have a history of the Jewish people that today we commemorate and we fast for that because it was sad date. It's the 9 of Av. a date that, if you think about the realization that it's the 11th month of the nine, you reminded me. We need to remember that that destruction came about because people didn't get along. Now, we're trying
exactly.
to get along with the Palestinian.
You hit it right on the nail, yes. Okay, the Talmud would tell you, this is just a saying. You know, to say something doesn't mean that you really understand and integrate it. And then they say that the destruction of the temple came in because there was separation within the family, and the family started separating itself. Therefore, the temple that we had is really a manifestation of the temple that we should carry within. Again, I'm saying that David said that the real temple has always been within. The first Mishkan, the one that they were carrying in the desert, had no walls. It was not made out of stone. You could see through it. It was like see-through. They were carrying it. And then when, as a matter of fact, when they started wanting to build a temple, it was because of the state of consciousness in those times that required a king. And you know very well that when Samuel goes to God and he asks for a temple, God says, why do I need a temple? I'm everywhere. I flow everywhere. I don't want to be in an area. I don't want. And he says, well, we want to do a big structure for you. We want to worship you like the rest of the world is worshiping their own sub-gods, whatever. So it's not that the temple could function as long as the elements of the holy, which is unity, which is the one. We always say God is one. You know, that's what that we always say here, Israel, God is one, not two. It's one. Okay, this is our credo. That's saying that God is one. And if you look at Shema Israel, you know, you understand that Yisrael and even Yishmael are one, because the children that Abraham gives birth to two brothers, and those brothers are fighting now. This is a fight between brothers. Can you imagine? This is not even a fight between perceptually different groupings that came out of Noah or something. This is directly from Abraham. So what we are having right now is a problem within our hearts. We have corrupted our hearts. We have gotten disconnected from the source. Not even a message, because a message is only there to put you back into an alignment to a feeling, to an understanding that you feel then. That all of humanity is just one species, one being, one source that just split itself into children. It's like my children are me, but they are magnificently different, and then they're expressing different qualities that I don't necessarily express, and then they can express. We're not here. This creation was never created so that we spoil it, exploit it, destroy it, or get over each other and then massacre each other in horrific ways. Never.
Right.
The manifestation, what we call evil, is a consequence of the state of where we are at right now, and we've been at for so long. So it's not who is right and who is wrong that has to be asked. Is how did we even get there, and how do we get out of this? Because a cycle of violence brings only more cycles of violence and then more cycles of violence until we get to what I call the peace of man, which has nothing to do with the peace of God. The peace of man is a peace without love. It's a peace that comes from the exhaustion of the protagonist. They're so exhausted from fighting and the killing and that they finally get to a certain amount of peace. But that peace usually does not last. It starts recurring because we have not addressed the main cause of the problem inside. The cause of the problem is that we do not realize that we are a family, and we should operate as a family. We should share, you know, the benefits of creation in the most positive way and work for each other. It's not only about we Israel is a microcosm of the whole rest of the world. We realize that as this is happening in Israel, the Cold War is being starting again. It's the same force. There's a force. The two forces in creation: one which is real, which is the force of the one, of unity. not only amongst the Jews, but amongst the Creator, because the real Yoda, the Yuda, you know, the Jewish, the real Yuda, you know, the Yoda, is the Creator, the upper Creator. In Yod HaVaveh, you have a Yod, that's the Creator. So the Creator, it can only be one, but the separation, when you have the her, the projection out, the when you project all these children out, it, at that level, there is a possibility, because of the way by which creation operates, of having this illusory perception that we are really not one family, or we're opposite, and we should compete, and we should try to overcome each other, we should conquer each other's land. We have a right to the land. Israel has come back to the land because this is the land where this notion had to be spread. Israel looks like a knife. It's like when the one came in 1948 and said, "Here, I'm back, and I want now to show my real teachings, my teachings of unification. I want my light to spread to the rest of the world." And then it started like that. And then something, you know, because the children are still in the garden, the children started playing the same old grooves and saying, "Well, you know, my light is nicer than your light, and I don't really need light, and I want to show that I'm going to behave like a powerful individual." And then, And a lot of inner separative darkness and maybe unethical things were done within the state of Israel, and it became as you know very well, a country where everybody is trying now to bicker for little things, like children in a schoolyard. Everybody thinks that they have the right way out. No, they know the truth, and then this is it. And it all becomes a political discussion or a philosophical discussion or a spiritual discussion. And you have these false guides at all levels, whether they're political guides, whether they're spiritual guides, whether they're economical guides, who are trying to push their agenda, because it's really an agenda, but it's still a primitive agenda, and they're not bringing the light out, because we were supposed to be a light not on the nation. I mean, if you see Abraham, the blessing is that the Jews will be a light unto the nation. That's the third temple. We cannot have a third temple in Israel as a physical stone structure, because I'm going to tell you something. It will not be a physical stone structure. It will be literally a temple made out of light. And this will only happen when the Yoda projected here will project the light outside, when the energy that we produce will be based on light energy, when we give the world, because we have a very strong connection directly. You see, the kingdom of Israel was destroyed before the kingdom of Judea. That kingdom is in fact the real kingdom. Because Yisrael means, it's not Israel, it's Yesh, Yashar El, straight to God. There's a straight connection to God there. We have that connection, but we don't listen to the voice. We have it, but people are too busy trying to compete, having businesses, and then trying to do this and through that. They're not listening to the voice. Even the spiritual people, instead of listening to the voice, are screaming. God is not deaf. He doesn't need for us to scream to him. Because the real prayer is inside the heart.
Absolutely. Gerald, it's so wonderful to have you here, because I am always in awe with you. It's the connection that you have with God is a blessing to all of us. And the wake-up call that you're giving us today to remind us all that we have to listen to the light in and project it to the world. Give shine on and make sure that we give each other and the world what we deserve to give, you know, kindness, friendship, brotherhood. That's where we restore the world to its peaceful state. Thank you so much for being on my show. And I'm really, really want just one last word before. Let's go to a break before I say goodbye to you. Let's go to a break now. And we are back. I know I interrupted the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome is the salvation of Israel today. It's a representation of salvation. It's the grace of God that was given to Israel to protect itself, to show the world, you know, God has his interest in the state of Israel, and God wants us here. And Gerald We are not going to let you go. You have to give us a few more minutes just to let it tell us what you think about this iron miraculous dome.
Okay, it's not the Iron Dome per se that's protecting Israel. It's Israel that's protecting. Israel is the name of God. It's not called Israel, it's Yisrael, because that's his name. And he gives it to Jacob. He calls Jacob by his name. It means the Yesh, the being, the existence, straight to the highest level, to El Elyon, to God. So that energy field is protecting Israel as long as there is a hope for us, the whole creation, to be sustained and continue, and this light to be spread. It is our responsibility, because we are protected. It's not only the Iron Dome, it's the fact that you can see that a lot of missiles are falling into empty space. It's not that everything is calculated, because when there was no Iron Dome and the Scud missiles were falling during the first Gulf War, they also were fighting off target.
All right.
They were much more sophisticated missiles than this. Israel has a shield. Now, that shield will remain as long as there's hope that we are going to do our job. You know? When we talk about that force, that it's called the Amalek force, it says, Emche Timche, I will erase it as long as you work with me and you erase it. But the erasing is from within. We have to erase that force from within. It's not something that just come out of nowhere. It's when we are not aligned with the truth of who we really are and what our missions is here as humanity, not only as Jews, because we are messengers. What is important is the message, to give the message out. As long as we give this message out and we spread the message, then we will enlighten the world, and then we will welcome the world, and then Jerusalem will be the city of God, because at that point it will become holy. The whole city will be called a holy city. All of the nations will be around the city of God. And they will literally gift that city to God. There will be no idea, not even an iota of an idea of separating it and then putting pieces here and embassies. And this is ridiculous. And the name Israel will not be considered to be just a country. It will be considered to be a blessing that came at this particular point to recreate what was meant to be so long ago and it never succeeded yet. So we are supposed now to listen to this. You know the old saying that says that you should love your neighbor as yourself, right?
Right.
The word used in Hebrew is ra, is evil. Because you have to understand that if you don't face your own evil within, if you don't face what is dark within yourself, that evil will show across you. Because it's really you, kamocha, it's you. That evil is you, and it's not really you. And so I was connecting you recently, and I asked, how is this going to finish? And I said, well, for now, there should be a lull in this crazy cycle. But during the lull, what needs to be important is not to build more, you know, for them to build stronger and better missiles or nuclear weapons, and for us to build, weapons. This is something that you do for self-defense, but that's not going to solve anything. It's just repeating the cycle of violence to a stronger and stronger level. What needs to be done is that the people within have to stop bickering within. They have to become holy. They have to become friendly to the nation. They don't have to look down on the nation as being separated from them. They don't have to look at each other as being separated from each other. A group should never think that it's superior to another, because they're not. In the eyes of God, they're all their children. The fact that they're outside or inside makes no difference. And all these people who are bringing false programs, because they're false programs, false ideas, and that, you know, both on our side, on the Israeli side, and both on the Muslim side, and both on the Christian side, both on the atheist side, or whatever, because there's both light and darkness on each side. The people from within that are suffering, because a lot of people are suffering on the other side too, have to finally stand up for their and they have to say, enough is enough. We are one family. We will not go and kill across the border. We're not going to build ghettos, you know, do you understand? Because Israel is becoming a super ghetto now. That's not what the one wants. because you cannot have unity within a ghetto and then have bombs going over it. The idea is for the ghetto not to exist, to break the barriers, to welcome everybody as if they would be yourself. The old saying in the Bible is that you were also foreigners. So don't treat the foreigners exactly like you want them to treat you and like you should treat yourself. So we have to open up to this. We have to bring this idea of unity, and then all the barriers will fall, and it's over. Because these forces, and I was told, those forces, because I said, how are you going to remove all those forces? And then I get that then the higher level, the one that is always one, will then remove them. They'll go. They will just change their minds and they say, okay, we give up. Because when you love evil and you realize it's yourself, because you have it within yourself and you take care of it and you get rid of the evil that you have within yourself, the evil meaning the idea of separation, the idea that you're better than somebody else, the idea that you have to compete and overcome somebody else, the idea that you have to make more money than somebody else, the idea that you have to destroy elements of nature when you could have a technology of light, you're using a technology of darkness because it makes money. Do you understand? This is what Israel has done lately. Things of that sort. When you are doing this, then evil will stand up on the outside. It will mirror back what you are not willing to face. You have to face your light. You have to bring that light out and show it to the world. And then the world will show you back the world. We are the ones that are being tested. And what is coming back to us is a reflection of what we are not facing yet. Because we are direct, the first point that directly connected. But after that, the rest is the same. Do you understand? The same family, the world. Same thing. The world, as we call it, yes. And then everybody comes to Jerusalem and they see the light. And then everybody comes and pray. And this is the end of the so-called prophecies.
Wonderful, hallelujah. I hope, oh God, it will be wonderful if we can.
It will be wonderful, really, yes. But it needs to be done. It's not a religious, yes, of course in our lives. It's accelerating. But this will not be a religious statement. Do you understand? It's far above religion. It's the truth. There is only one source we all came from, one father and mother we came from. It's the one. It's one light we originated from everywhere at all levels. There can be only one. That was the big realization of Abraham, the big credo of Abraham. And no one was thrown out and then excluded from that. Everybody was welcome at that point. So we have to go back to the core, you know, to our essence. This is what's important. The one has gone back to the essence where all this was born in physically, and we have to go back to our essence where we were born spiritually and biologically, and then we have to anchor that behavior by expressing it, that behavior in the place where we were born physically, and then the rest of the world will just dance with us.
Wonderful, wonderful. In this conclusion, incredible conclusion, I want to thank you for coming on my show, Gerald. I hope that everybody will take the time to find you online and be inspired by incredible records that he has, by incredible books that he has to show for. This work is a constant life work. It's not something that he came up just yesterday. He'd been working with this for so long, and we are getting the best of it.
Close to 30 years, yeah.
Thank you.
Can I give the website?
Please do.
I want to give the website. It's called probablefuture.com. And if you would talk about Israel, I received a message on December 30, 2013. I was not expecting it. And that message is called Hear, O Israel. So it's probablefuture.com, and then it's a trip of awakening from within and you're told how to do it. It's very, very easy. We're all given this, and I don't have much time to tell you, but there's this famous story of Elijah who goes into the desert.
They're gonna find you, Gerald O'Donnell. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless
all
you.
Right.
God bless you. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For being on my show.
Thank
and
you for
let's
inviting
go to
me.
A break.
And there will be peace.
And we are back with our guest that is very special to the state of Israel. His name is Lou Blecher, and he is the national director for the Friends of the Kaplan Hospital. In this time of war, we have a lot of lost souls, a lot of heroes that were created, and many people get injured in this war. This is not easy for none of them, and Kaplan Institute is a very old hospital that hosts within people from all sides, people from Israel and people from Gaza. I ran into many of them before, and I know what kind of institution it is. And Lou Blecher, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Orly. It's an honor to be with you. I think from our short conversation this morning, you're doing an amazing job sharing information, critical information, to listeners all over the world by this radio project. And we're very, very happy at Kaplan that you've chosen to give us a chance to share information about what Kaplan Medical Center in Rehovot is doing.
It's really important because Kaplan, maybe it's shy in its position in the Israeli scene, but it's so close to the Weizmann Institution, and much of the credit that should be given it doesn't. So I'm really looking forward for you to develop a really, really good international program, a national program that can create an understanding what Kaplan Institution does to the people and what we need to support that institution and how it can proceed in the future. Please tell us about it.
Okay, Orly, if I can, I want to share a few stories recently from the war in Gaza and what Kaplan has been doing, and also to chat with you a bit, because I know you have some strong connections, and from what I understand, you know everything that's going on in Israel. So first of all, let me start. and listen, I'm so much enjoying the opportunity to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to back and forth enjoying this experience. Firstly, when the war in Gaza started, Kaplan Medical Center was one of three general hospitals that was put on a state of alert for mass casualties. I believe you spoke with Professor Jacob Yahav, the CEO, who's an absolutely phenomenal person. I'll tell you a little bit of a story with him related to the Ukraine world news a little bit later. But number two there, the deputy CEO, Dr. Leon Polis, is a noted expert in mass casualties. He's a consultant to the Minister of Health on that, and Kaplan's been put in a position of providing and being ready to provide services for mass casualties, as are the other hospitals as well. But it's in that critical position. I want to relate to something that happened at the beginning of, more to the beginning of the current war with Gaza and the rockets that came over. Many people remember that there was a missile attack which landed at a gas station in Ashdod on the 11th of July. And one of the, you remember that, right?
Sure.
Sure. And one of the critical, one of the first critical victims from that attack was a grandfather by the name of Shlomo Kedem, who was at the gas station. He tried to get in. He got hit by shrapnel, and he almost lost his eye. And he was rushed to Kaplan. They saved him. They gave his wife a little souvenir of that shrapnel fragment. And we actually put together an e-newsletter, which we're happy to send out to anyone, with a picture of him and Kaplan CEO Professor Yahav and the head of the Ministry of Health and Dr. Ayala, Professor Ayala Pollack, who heads up the ophthalmology department there. So that's one story, how this crisis has hit home to individual Israelis, and Kaplan's been there to give them a chance for life and sight in this case. Now, I just saw a report came out yesterday that there's a strong occurrence of premature births that Kaplan has reported because of the stress. I'm a pregnant mother.
Right.
This God. This is one of the critical things, how Israeli citizens are have to deal with the constant stress of being in a war zone and being under constant missile attack. The other story which I want to tell you is that when the current crisis started, one of the first things that Kaplan had to do, and you probably know this, that Kaplan is known throughout Israel as having one of the best cardiac centers, doctors, leading doctors in this who have the best high-tech equipment. Unfortunately, because Kaplan was founded shortly after the State of Israel, it has barracks still remaining from 61 years ago. And when the rockets started flying, they had to evacuate cardiac patients from the barracks and wheel them into the recently built pediatric center because it had reinforced concrete walls and sides, and they'd be more protected there. But think of that. Right. If you have your uncle or grandfather or cousin or husband or wife who goes in to Kaplan for much-needed heart surgery, and they all go there because it's so well-known, then afterwards they have to be wheeled out and taken to barracks from 61 years ago. It's crazy. So what
it
we're
is,
doing...
That's why we need support. We need to support this institution, not just because there are patients there that need the care and they need the protection. It's also from the innovation side that Kaplan can bring with a collaboration with the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem and the Weizmann Institute in Rehovot, which brings innovation to the world. It's not just for the local, it's the world that needs to be advanced. And that's what's in stake here. More we insert, support to a place where can innovation come from, more we get success for the whole world to share and to have and to heal. You know, this is about healing people. And thank you so much, Lou, for doing this job. This is incredible. I know that you're a volunteer. I have to celebrate 25 years of volunteering this year. And I salute you on this. And I hope that you be powerful and forceful in whatever you do. But tell us, what else is happening as far as the Kaplan Institute goes?
Well, I'll tell you, I volunteer a lot of my time in the Jewish community in America and for Israel. I am doing this as national director, as a paid position. So I don't want you.
Thank God for you.
But I appreciate what you're saying, that Kaplan is partners with Weizmann Institute, just the north of it. It's partners with Hadassah Hospital, whose nurses come to train at Kaplan. It's part of the integral setup of the whole medical connections with the Clalit medical support services throughout Israel. It's part of the total picture. And I think one of the things which you're getting to, which is part of the crying shame of this whole period, is that Israel is concerned about being a light unto nations, about healing neighbors. And we see stories and stories of Palestinians who come to Israeli hospitals, and it's so unfortunate that you know what we see going on in Gaza is really not so much, to my mind, the Palestinians and their grievances. It's a battle with Iran and world terrorism that puts Israel in the middle as a way of attacking the United States. I'm speaking to as a proud American.
Do you know that this morning Israel transferred 3,000 portions of blood supply to the Palestinian? That it was the only day that actually they accepted it. We, the State of Israel, offered it 3 weeks ago. And this blood comes from the Arab Israeli, the other Palestinian that live within the border in peace. And I have, I have the heart for them, and like everybody else, all the people of the world, Israel included, they are worrying about those Palestinian children and women that are captured by Hamas organization. So for us to give blood to them was like elementary. Sure, we actually created a facility, a medical facility near the border of Egypt to welcome the refugees, but the Hamas bombarded
right.
it because
right.
they didn't
right.
want
right.
support from Israel, and they refused it for 3 weeks, the blood supply, and now finally they're getting it. I hope that the world will give them gives them some ideas how to get out of those big 3-day climates, so we can have everybody settled and we can start taking care of people and rebuild this miserable piece of place that they created there. I'm sorry for the world that they need to see all this. You know, shameful. We got her so much support and money, and they built tunnels to destroy other
right.
nations. It's ridiculous.
Right. I have a personal perspective of that because I started working for the Israeli government as a director of academic affairs in Philadelphia back in 2004. And when I started working, they said, hey, Lou, bring a book because things are kind of quiet in the summer. They didn't tell me that in the summer of 2005 there'd be the Gaza disengagement. And I lived through that from the perspective of working for the State of Israel, seeing how much preparation there was for Israel to pull out, the whole democratic process going through when Ariel Sharon went through the cabinet to make the decision, and I remember this, how there was almost a civil war in Israel between the religious and non-religious over this issue. And a miracle yeah. was that not a single casualty as they pulled thousands and thousands of people from their homes. To me, that was an amazing miracle. And I have that perspective.
We accepted the way that they chose to give us. We accepted
mm-hmm.
what God wanted, and that's the way the credo goes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
That's the difference between some of other people don't realize that we believe in God intensely, and we understand that when there is a will of God, there is a way. And I trust that there is a will of God for you, Lou Blatcher, to succeed, to create a good facility, because Kaplan need to reestablish the cardiology there, and they need a new facility. And there is the space, there is the land. I visited
mm-hmm.
the site.
Oh.
Those professional superstars, doctors that work there, they're amazing. So we can create a really top-notch facility in the area, in
mm-hmm.
Adjacent to the Weizmann Institution, in collaboration with the rest of the world. And I welcome any American institution that want to plug in to join forces with you. So maybe we can create some collaboration here and push forward the innovation, because medical facility need innovation. State of Israel is famous for that, and the people of Israel need something else to occupy with. You know, this war been tiring for all of us, and we need to go to a peaceful place and make sure, you know, in Israel, and make sure that we all be taken care of. And I know Kaplan is one, and I hope that the Palestinians will have the fortitude to stand up for their rights and get to visit also and become a neighbor like a neighbor should be.
And we can build together.
Can
I share with you regarding the cardiac center? Because we have some amazing plans, as you referred to, in building a brand new state-of-the-art cardiac center and a place where patients can actually be and not in barracks without private bathrooms or showers. It's so critical for that. But if I can share
Absolutely.
With you and your listeners, when I started working for Kaplan just a few months ago, one of the greatest challenges I found, in March I went to the APAC policy conference, and I spoke to about 50 or 60 Jewish community leaders all over the United States who came together for that. And I told them, hey, listen, friends, I'm working out for Kaplan. And I saw a blank stare on their face. I'll tell you, okay, in American Jewish circles, no one knows of Kaplan, or until recently, no one knew of Kaplan.
That's why we're putting you on, and that's
thank
why
you.
We put... Thank you so much for coming, Lou, and I need to conclude. This was an amazing,
okay,
amazing talk, and we'll talk to you soon, and you proceed anytime, you know, we have some news. I would love to bring you on, okay, Lou?
Thank you so much.
It's an important day for the universe. It's an important day for the state of Israel. It's an important day for the Middle East. It's time that we all share this space in harmony. It's time we all decide to come and get along. I don't care what color, what race, what religion, and what do you want to become in your life. It's all your business. But let us be. Let us all be. Let's bring on the good in men. Let's create a universe we can be proud of. Let's be the people we deserve to be, and let's be worthy of this soul that God gave us. God bless you all, and this is The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for everybody. Thank you, Doug. I love you all, and God bless you. See you, hear you next week.